Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
Hi, this is Patrick Cohn with the Ultimate Sports Parent Radio Show. Today I'm talking with Dr. Stephen Horan, who is an expert in community health improvement, and he holds a PhD in education from the University of Virginia, and he's the founder of SportsParent.net.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Horan.
Glad to be here, sir. Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about what's the mission that you're doing with SportsParent.net?
Sure. I came to SportsParent.net, the idea for it, after many years of being a coach, an administrator, and a sports parent. And as I started to realize the magnitude of youth sports in this country at any given time, 30 to 40 million youth are involved in youth sports, I really started to ask the question, what are we trying to accomplish here? What is the educational purpose of sports? And as you look at the numbers of youth playing, so many drop out at age 13 or 14 for many different reasons. But among those reasons are just lack of sheer athleticism. I began to ask the question, what value can we deliver through youth sports above and beyond the value that's delivered to the excellent athlete? And so I came to the realization that the primary objective of youth sports, including community sports and school-based sports, ought to be positive youth development, and that sports can help youth develop important assets that are transferable to other areas of their life, but that's not automatic. Parents and coaches have to be very vigilant to make sure that sports actually deliver on their promise of character development. I developed the Sports Parent Network and SportsParent.net to educate parents so that they can make really good decisions in terms of coaching their own children as they navigate through youth sports, but also make good consumer decisions about youth sports programs that could really promote their kids' youth development versus those that can't.
Interesting. So the youth development, I would probably call developing life skills through sports. Is that the same thing? Could you talk a little bit about that?
It sure is. The end product of youth development is the youth develops life skills through sports. But I would say the positive youth development movement is really aimed more at adults, coaches and parents, getting coaches and parents to develop programs that are actually aimed at developing positive life skills. So the movement is aimed at the adults who run the youth sports programs, but the end result is just as you said, it's positive life skills for youth with the idea that sports can be part of an overall education, helping kids to become happy and productive adults.
And what are those, the top life skills, if you're to put, you know, kind of list the top life skills that you're targeting towards parents and coaches to bring along youth through youth sports, what would those be?
Right. We've actually broken it down. We have a model we call the elevation model, and we've broken it down into five main areas. The first area is health and fitness. And it is surprising how many really excellent athletes are not necessarily living lives of wellness. So the first thing you should learn through sports is how to take care of yourself and how to value wellness as a life principle. The second piece is character, and in particular competitive character. How do you go through a competitive process, sustain your ethics, but while also building positive relationships with teammates and coaches and really building trustworthiness throughout the process? The third piece is self-direction. There are so many young athletes who have a lot of athletic talent, a lot of good character, but are not really self-initiators, don't really know how to be a self-directed person. And through sports and the motivation that comes by being part of a team and interrelating with a coach, we can really teach kids a lot about how to be self-directed in their lives. And then we move from the personal to the team. The next level is teamwork. How do you interact with a team and not just be part of it, but really actively seek to add value to it? Sometimes that means you're being a team leader. Sometimes that means being a team follower. Sometimes it means being a captain. Sometimes it means being the last person off the bench. But the idea is that every single team member can add value. And then the fifth level is team leadership. How do you become an ethical servant team leader? What can you learn about that through the sports process? So those five things, health, character, self-direction, teamwork, and leadership, those are skills you can begin to develop through sports, but those are also skills that are extraordinarily valuable in the adult world. And so that's what we focus on.
The one you mentioned about being self-directed, is that because sports is set up in a way that the coach or parents typically direct kids through that sport experience? I look at self-directed, my term for that would be being self-motivated. Could you talk a little bit about that aspect?
Sure. I think that, you know, if you look across, you know, you take any 100 kids or youth in a youth sports program, you're going to see all different kinds of level of self-direction. There is, you know, a phenomenon that goes on where athletes are told, you know, when to eat, when to get up, when to go to practice, what uniform to wear, and what to do while they're out there. So while they are performing a lot of the time, it's not necessarily self-motivated. And I think that's one piece of it. And I think the other piece of it is just normal youth development of any human being. Not all young people are particularly self-directed. That's something that comes with maturity. So we break it down in terms of very practical things that coaches and parents can teach kids about self-direction. Number one, can you get up every day and have self-initiative, have a goal for yourself and follow that goal? Can you stay focused on that goal? Can you be proactive in approaching that goal? Can you be coachable? Do you actually seek out coaching when you need it? Can you be self-disciplined and say yes to the right things and say no to the wrong things? Can you be in control of your own emotions while you're out there, whether it's a practice or in a game or in the community? Can you be smart enough to make good decisions in sports and school and the family and the community so that you stay eligible and that you take care of your health and wellness so that you can perform? Can you be assertive enough to say yes when you need to and to say no when you need to? Can you say no to cheating in competition and in the classroom? Can you say yes to the right behaviors that make you a better citizen and a better athlete? Can you be persistent? It's not always easy out there. Can you stick with it through the inevitable ups and downs of sports? And then can you be balanced? We really shouldn't be trying to build obsessive-compulsive athletes here. We should be trying to, you know, motivate our athletes to give their best, give their all to their sports, but also have balance in their life between sports and academics and family and their community life. So I think that whole package that we call self-direction, it really is a lot about self-initiative and self-motivation. Kids don't necessarily come to us with that anymore. And, you know, in my experience as a coach, a lot of kids need it explained to them. But once you explain it, you can see the breakthroughs happen, and kids start to realize, this is what I need to do to get from level A to level B.
Well, I love the idea, and there seems that there's a lot that goes into this whole area of self-direction that you're talking about. Is it saying that society today and youth sports today, that it's become the driving force for kids in sports? I got to think that it's saying something about, you know, when we were kids, we used to just go out and play, and it was unorganized. But today, everything's organized in youth sports. Is it saying that because of that over-organization that's happened in youth sports, that kids are losing that self-direction?
That has been my observation, and I think that that's going on for a number of reasons. You know, the suburbanization of American life is one reason. You know, a lot of us old timers have the ability to go out the door every day and play pickup ball in three or four different locations. Not every kid has that now. But I also think another thing that's going on is the good news is that, you know, tens of millions of kids are involved in youth sports. But the flip side of that is not every kid is involved now is really involved at their own self-motivation. It just becomes another activity. After 3 or 4 years of training kids to just show up and perform when they're told to, Then we step back when they're age 13 or 14 and we wonder why they don't have their own self-direction. Maybe they never had it. Maybe nobody ever taught it to. But the fact that almost every athletic opportunity now is organized by adults and where kids are told what to do, I think that has to have an impact. I've heard anecdotal stories around about leagues that are set up to be run by and for kids, and I think that's a great idea. I've done a little bit of that myself in some intramural programs, and it's really neat to see the kids name their own teams, you know, select somebody to coach for the day, call their own timeouts, and play their own game without a lot of adult involvement. And I do wonder sometimes whether we shouldn't be more proactively trying to give our kids more opportunities to get to athletic venues and play by themselves without too much adult involvement.
Yeah, I love the idea, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to hold your hands, your kid's hand, and you know, let's go try out and see if you like some soccer at the Y, or
right.
Let's go to the tennis court and see if you like lessons. So at some point, the parents are going to have to introduce their kids to sport. But I assume that this area of being self-directed, it's once the child is involved, you want to let go of the reins and let them be the driving force. Is that what I'm understanding?
I think that's what you try for, particularly as they hit age 12, 13, 14. And, you know, I think that if you look at the younger ages, you know, the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old leagues, I think we could be more creative there. You could have, for example, a Y program that invites kids in to come and play basketball on Saturdays. They don't necessarily all have to be assigned to a team with a particular coach. We could have more open gym type situations, more sandlot type situations. I think back to the issue of self-motivation and self-direction, I think if you see a kid start to enjoy and ask to go to those kinds of situations, you know they have more of an authentic interest in the sport. As opposed to a kid who maybe is just showing up every week for a chance to wear the uniform and go for the snack after the game. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's kind of interesting how many kids will not go out and play pickup on their own, but they're there at every practice and they're at every game. You have to really wonder whether they have an authentic joy in the sport or whether they're really just showing up for the social aspect of it.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. Is that so bad if they just love the social aspect or feeling part of a team? Is that an okay motivator for them, you know, to be there rather than just having this authentic joy for
right.
the love of competition or the sport?
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with either one. But in counseling a lot of parents over the years, I think this is where some of the trouble starts because I see a lot of kids in the 12, 13, 14-year-old age range who may be there for social reasons, just having a good time, and it's all good because they're getting physically fit and they're part of a team and they're learning these skills. Yet mom and dad, you know, particularly if it's an AAU thing or a travel team, might be investing $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 in this. And at a certain point, you know, do the parents start to expect more out of the kid than the kid can deliver? Do they start to expect more out of the coach than the coach can deliver? And that expectations gap between what the kid really wants out of sports and what parents and sometimes coaches expect, that's a source of a lot of tension that you feel in sports when you get into that first middle school type age where you're getting into the more competitive school teams and more competitive travel teams. That gap in expectations, a lot of parents come to me with that, and they're struggling with that because they've put so much time and money into their kid's development, but the kid does not seem to love it and does not seem to be going to the next level.
Those are some excellent tips for sports parents. I've been talking with Dr. Stephen Horan, who's the owner and founder of sportsparent.net. Thank you very much, Dr. Horan, for some great tips today.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.